Let's open with a word of prayer. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we're able to gather and that the laws of the land allow us to open thy word and gather together. And as we open thy word this evening on the topic of prayer, the confidence of prayer, we pray for wisdom and guidance. We pray that we override my preparation. Then you speak from thy word, Lord. Then you speak to each of us that we may glean more from thy word about you and who you are. So we thank thee for this time and pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So tonight is the last in the series of praying like Jesus. And the topic is on the confidence of prayer. The passage is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking, "Ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, it will be opened." Verse 9, "Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good and advantageous to those who keep on asking him?" Verse 12, "So then, in everything, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets." Now, as I mentioned, this is the last in the series on praying like Jesus. The first was on the heart of prayer. The passage was taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. The second was the content of prayer. And that was taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 to 15. And today is on the confidence of prayer. Now, you'll find that there was a gap between this second last one and today's, because I was supposed to speak last month, but it had to be postponed due to my health. And in many ways, with prayers answered and not answered, it had been a great way to change and to add for preparation for tonight. The context of this passage is in Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7 is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the Lord Jesus teaches on various topics, such as believers to be salt and light, on what adultery means, marriage, loving your enemies, focusing on laying treasures in heaven, about wealth, about not to worry, not to judge, and what it means to know God, in essence. In chapter 6, from verses 5 to 15, we see the Lord Jesus teaching about how to pray. So from verses 1 to 8, I'm just summarizing, you see what a heart of prayer is. He talks about what hypocrites do and what God sees. And then the idea follows on in verse 5. A heart of prayer shows sincerity and a relationship between you and God, talking to your Heavenly Father. So it's a simple, in essence, it's a simple conversation, a heart-to-heart, and not a speech to impress. From verses 7 to 15, you see the content of prayer. The Lord Jesus gives an example of what to pray for. The first is to acknowledge God and that it is His will that is done. Then to ask for what we need, both physically and spiritually, and to keep our eyes on Him. Now, this morning actually is interesting. I always find that I learn a lot sitting in Sunday school, and sometimes I find that I learn a lot more sitting in Sunday school than not. But this morning with the children, Paula was asking them, you can see that's why I brought this up, asking them to hands to pray. And she was asking them to stick on the things to remember when we pray. And so I'll just read out the ones that she gave this morning. God wants us to pray and to talk to him. So prayer is talking to God. Then we can pray and say sorry to God when we disobey him. We can pray for our whole family. We can pray if we get scared and feel afraid. And we should pray and thank God for sending Jesus to die for us. I thought it was really, really important. And I felt like I'm saying this and that's it. I don't have to say anymore. But even to our children, it's so important to teach them what prayer is. Now, I'll perhaps read the passage first, and I'll explain why I read it. Let me turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verses 8 to 10. And this is on the parable of the lost coin. And I'll read Luke chapter 15, verse 8. Well, what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found the lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Why I read this is because there was a time in my life where I thought to myself that I was not worth saving, that I was not valuable. And going through the preparation for tonight, going through the passage on the about Matthew chapter 7 and also the earlier ones, the Sermon on the Mount, it reminds me that not only did the Lord Jesus die for our sins, but also invested in us in teaching us what he means and how it means to live a life that glorifies God. And it is because we are valuable to him. That's why he does so much and gave his life for us. Now, today's topic is on the confidence of prayer, and we see an example of how to pray. And in verses 7 to 12, we will see also what to pray for, but also having the confidence when you ask for what you pray for. In verse 7, the word for ask is that's used is aiteo. And aiteo means to ask, beg, crave, desire. So we see in verse 7, it says, "Ask and you'll be given, seek and keep on seeking and you'll find, knock and you'll be open. Not if, but will." And verse 8 reiterates that everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Now, as far as I understand from previous commentaries, the use of asking, seeking, knocking emphasizes persistent, constant prayer. So this is reiterated by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, when he says, "Be unceasing and persistent in prayer." Now, in verses 9 to 11, in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus is saying, "If as sinners, if your son asks you for a bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks you for fish, will you give him a snake?" And as sinners, the Lord Jesus says, we know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children. How much more will our Heavenly Father, who is perfect, give what is good and advantageous to us? So for my son, sometimes Noah, he likes... there's this website called Storytime, and it is what it is that some celebrities or authors, they read out the books, and basically they read it out, and he likes it very much. And sometimes he keeps asking for more, and I go, "Well, no, you've had enough screen time for the day, so that's it." And he gets upset with me, but I'm trying to prevent his eyes from ending up like mine. Other times, of course, he's hungry, so he asks me for food, and I'll feed him as best as I can, but I don't give him McDonald's, Macca's every time he asks for it because it's not healthy, it's junk food. So sometimes when we ask where that comes from, that motivation, I'll touch on that in a bit, but that's also important. And one of the things that came to mind, an example that came to mind about motivation, asking for prayer, and perhaps not really trusting and asking our fear, was the example of Hezekiah. And that's from 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. In those days, Hezekiah became deathly ill. The prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not recover." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Please, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in faithfulness and truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle courtyard, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I am healing you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life and save you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I'll protect this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." But as we know, his life was extended for 15 years. But as we also know, during those 15 years, he did a foolish thing, one of which was when the Babylonian envoys came. He showed them everything and nothing was hid from the envoys. And as we know, later on, the Babylonians invaded and then took the Israelites captive. In verse 12, the Lord Jesus then mentions what we commonly know as the golden rule. So he says, "So then," so carrying on the idea from what he said before, "so then in everything, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. For this is," in the Amplified, there's the he says, "this is the essence of the law and the writings of the prophets." Now, in law, we also have that principle, and so it still uses the, in some of your versions, you read, "do unto others what you want others to do unto you." But in this day and age, we live in a very sinful world, and unfortunately, I've heard, and perhaps you have as well, heard it been twisted to say, "do unto others before they do unto you." And that's a very corrupted way of that. The Lord Jesus, basically what he says in the Golden Rule, what's now commonly known as the Golden Rule, is he condenses the Old Testament into one principle, and that's taken from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And that reads, "You shall not take revenge, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor being acquaintance, associate, companion, as yourself. I am the Lord." Now, we all want respect, love, and appreciation, whether we deserve it or not. And the Lord Jesus understood this, and that's why he's pounding on this. And the Golden Rule is actually also part of the second greatest commandment that the Lord Jesus speaks about. So, in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 39, verse 37, so Jesus is replying to a lawyer, and Jesus replied to him saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like this, like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then in Matthew chapter 5, going to an earlier passage from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 44, the Lord Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." So the idea being that in chapter 7, the idea being that you being sinful, sinners, if you can love, you love others as well. And so the confidence of prayer, when we talk about confidence, it's the idea is whatever you put your confidence in, that becomes your greatest source of security, comfort, confidence. And so if you are rich and you put your confidence in your riches, because I'm rich, I can afford all this and I don't have to worry about anything, that's what you put it in. But for us as believers, we know that putting your confidence in anything other than God is going to fade away. And it's not eternal. So as believers, we put our confidence in God, we put our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And aptly so, as the Apostle Paul, he writes in 1 Corinthians 3:11, I'll just read it. He says, "For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is already laid, which is Christ Jesus." Now, the one thing about prayer as well, I was saying earlier about where our motivation or what we pray comes from. We should have been covered in the one of the two earlier messages called Content of Prayer. It's about not, from Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, where the Lord Jesus says, "Do not pray like the Gentiles do, praying with meaningless repetition. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." So the idea being is when we pray, our Heavenly Father already knows what we want. And praying reiterates is having that relationship with Him. And the relationship with Him, if you look at John chapter 14, John chapter 14 verses 12 to 15, this is the Lord Jesus speaking again. From verse 12 of John chapter 14, He says, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me will also do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do so, and I will do so that the Father may be glorified and celebrated in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Verse 15 reads, "If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments." So asking in confidence does not come from a point where you're asking because of selfish gain. It's asking so that the Father, whatever happens, is so that the Father may be glorified and celebrated in the Son. And then verse 15 gives an idea that the Lord Jesus says, "If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments." So if you are praying and it really comes from a sense of having a good relationship with our Heavenly Father, that's where, when we pray, that's where it comes from, that motivation, knowing what to pray for. And sometimes with prayer, the answer can be yes, the answer can be no, the answer may be wait, the answer may be there's actually something else, something better. And sometimes we have unanswered prayer. So I was saying earlier that I was sick the last time, and unfortunately the message had to be postponed because I was in a lot of pain. Without going into too much detail, what happened was there was an infection and I was in a lot of pain that I couldn't stand. If I was not in lying down flat in bed, anything else put me in a lot of pain. And so there was an infection, but that was only a byproduct of something which unfortunately hasn't been picked up. So I actually want to apologize to our brother Roy, because this morning he was asking me how I was, and I was a bit grumpy, among other things, and it's not an excuse, and I'm sorry. But one of the things is, I don't know what's going on. The doctor, Brother Roy made a comment that I should change my doctor, but I was telling him that that's the best one I've found, because she was the one that I thank God for her. And the last time that something did happen that required an operation, she picked it up really fast. No one else picked it up before that. So what has happened is, I remember asking for prayer because at that point in time, that weekend, I was in so much pain that I was worried that I would end up in hospital. And I do not like going to the hospital. I I don't think anyone does, but I really don't like going in the hospital. And I really thank God for the answered prayer. I didn't have to. Doctor gave me antibiotics, but then that had to be switched out to a stronger antibiotic, which I never heard before. And when Bea told me the side effects, she briefly skipped over the important ones, which I'm thankful she did, because if she didn't, I might not have taken the antibiotics. Until now, we're still waiting for results and trying to figure out what has happened, because the doctor can see from certain tests that something has happened, but it's not life-threatening. So at this point, it's not life-threatening, but something has happened and the doctor's not sure why it's happened. But it also brings me to a reminder of a passage aptly for this preparation as well, and this message tonight. Since October last year, when I went through 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, it really stuck with me. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18 reads, "Rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." Now, for me, it's a great comfort, and it's been something that stuck with me since October last year, that no matter what, to rejoice always and delight in your faith. There is a song in this Hokkien dialect that I quite like since I was rather young. And one of the lyrics, it goes to saying that there's always reason to be happy. And it's quite funny in that song, because it's saying that, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the whole week, I always have reason to be happy. And then the chorus actually goes, "I have reason to be happy because of what the Lord Jesus has done for me." And so, in verse 16, "Rejoice always and delight in your faith," that we who are believers, we have always have reasons to be happy because of what the Lord Jesus has done. And then in verse 17, it says, "Be unceasing and persistent in prayer." So pray and keep on praying in every situation. So no matter what the circumstance may be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And I read it the first in October. It really stuck with me, this part, because it says, be thankful no matter what, and always give thanks to God, because this is the will of God for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to continue to give thanks to Him. So that means that when we pray, we always have reason to say, thank you, Lord. And that's why sometimes you may see me here telling Noah randomly, to say thank you, Jesus, because I want him to, when something does happen that's worth being thankful for, I want him to be able to remember and say that that is because of the Lord, that's because of God, and to thank, to acknowledge that. Now, in closing, we'll be ending pretty early, but in closing, I just want to share a story that happened to us on 29th of December last year. So on 29th of December, I took the family, we went to City Beach, and the context is important of where we are to give an idea of where everything was. So we put all our things not very near the water, so quite far away and far away from most people. So we put our things down, and you'll probably wonder why on earth I brought this up. So I brought this up because what happened is, so this one, for context, Noah, I don't know what it's called, but Noah calls it a colander because it has holes like a colander. So he likes to play with it and lets the sand runs through it. And so he calls it his colander. It's his favorite one. There's a set. It's his favorite one. And so he brought it and we went near the water and we started playing in the water, and he was holding on to this, and then we started walking further and further away from where we put our things. And then a very strong wave came in, so I held on to Laura and Leia held on to Noah, and Noah held on to the colander. And in Noah's words, the sea stole my colander. So what happened was the snake, as he puts it, stole, snatched his colander, and basically the wave brought it up. And Bea and I, he started crying, and he was really upset. Bea and I started looking, but as you all be familiar, if the wave brings things out, it doesn't bring things back. So we tried looking for it, spent 5 minutes looking for it, and I told Bea, I think it's gone. Noah cried bitterly. We went to the other side. If you've been to City Beach, there's this, I don't know if you call it a lighthouse or whatever it is, the old lifeguard. Anyway, there's the part there. We went up there, and funny enough, I took a video of him, and he was crying, and he kept saying, "The sea stole, snatched away my colander." And then we tried to comfort him, and we tried to tell him, "Look, are you thankful that you had the colander in the first place?" And he said, "Yes." And then unbeknownst to me at that time, I was praying quietly, and so did Bea, and I was praying, "Lord, if anyone can perform a miracle, you can. Please help us find the colander." And so we went back. I told Bea, "Okay, let's go back. Let's go look for it again." Went around the same spot, and it was not there. And so I said, "Look, it's time to go home." And we went, as I painted the picture, we were quite far from our things. We went back to where we were, which I said was quite far away from everyone else. And not 1 meter away from our things, it was there. And it was a meter away, so it was not on our thing. So it's not as though someone thought that, this is yours, I'll put it with your stuff. But it was 1 meter away. And then Noah saw it and said, "Oh, the colander's back." And then I thought to myself, there's no one around us. So no one would have, saw us or saw that we were there. And why put it, 1 meter away? Why not put it on our stuff? Another thing is no one was around us. So who would have lost their colander near us? And of all the things, why would you lose the exact same one? So I told Noah and I told Bea, I said, nothing short of a miracle that somehow this has returned, and that's why I brought it back to show an example. But for me, it shows that even in what we would think as seemingly small things, that God listens and God cares. He cares for each one of us, no matter how old, no matter how young. He cares for us, he loves us, he listens, and more importantly, he wants that relationship with each and every one of us. And that's why he sent his son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. Shall we close with a word of prayer? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can open your word, and we thank you that we're able to glean more about prayer and the confidence of prayer and how you are God who loves us, and that how you have sent your one and only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us, that our sins may be forgiven so that we can have a relationship with you. And so we thank you, Lord, for that reminder. Thank you for being able to pray so freely and openly with you, Father God. And as we depart from here, we pray, Lord, for Jenny mercies. We pray, Lord, that as we start our week anew, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to have a new week. And we pray, Lord, that whatever we do, they may glorify you. So we thank you for this time and pray all these things in the name of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.